All right, welcome to the Public Health Podcast, Healthy Schmelty, helping you stay healthy by sorting out everything that's schmelty from the healthcare news. You're probably asking, hey, what exactly does that mean? Well, let me tell you, it means something that's not going to keep you very healthy. And so who am I to make this judgment call? Well, I'm a career healthcare information specialist. I'm also a master's of public health. I'm Rishi B. Thank you very much for joining me. Yes, this show here is to kind of help you sift through what's going on in the healthcare news so you can kind of keep base and maybe even find out things that you didn't even hear about just because of how much craziness is in the news. And this episode is focusing on some fascinating reads and news you ought to know. For example, did you know the Trump administration advanced the U.S. population's access to healthcare? That's right. And 1 year into COVID, why haven't poorer countries been hit harder by COVID? And also, let's settle this question once and for all. Which vaccine of all of them available is the sexiest? Can you answer me that right now? Well, we're going to try to get into that, okay? Step aside, People Magazine, sexiest man, dude of the year. Which is the vaccine? Which vaccine is the sexiest vaccine of the year? Later on in this episode, we'll also be doing a segment that I call Checking the Chatter. And that's where I'll be taking a look at what's been happening on my social medias, some things of note. And every week on my social medias, I do polls. So I'll be sharing the results of some polls that I did. For example, there was a big one that was actually a nail biter. What do people want more news of, Meghan Markle or COVID? I didn't expect that question to be so hot, but it really did come in hot. And also be doing a cool little quiz that I'm calling the Pop Culture Brain Dump. You know, it's very healthy to just unleash everything from your chest and get all of your thoughts out. And so I'll be giving myself 2 minutes to get as many things out. That's all coming up later on in this episode. Since my last episode was a conversation that I had with Dr. Reverend Sarah Bailey, and that was about vaccine hesitancy and the role that communication plays in pandemics. If you missed that conversation, highly recommend going back and listening to that one. But since my last episode, it was March 14th, Pi Day. Oh my goodness, happy Pi Day in case you forgot about that. I love Pi Day. I love pie. And, you know, my fascination with pie started with the movie Million Dollar Baby. That's a Clint Eastwood joint. If you're not familiar, that was Clint Eastwood and Hilary Swank and Morgan Freeman. And Clint Eastwood's character in that is fascinated with key lime pie. When I watched that movie, I was huge into Clint Eastwood. And so I thought that maybe I could be cool like Clint Eastwood if I ate key lime pie myself. And now I'm obsessed with pie of all kind, not just of the key lime nature. I embrace the diversity of pies out there. Also, unfortunately, since my last episode, there's been a couple of mass shootings. There's a spa shooting spree in Atlanta. There is the Boulder, Colorado supermarket mass shooting. These are just the ones that made it into the news. And, you know, related to these shootings, there's been a myriad of conversations happening, in particular, how the shooter in Atlanta is claiming sexual addiction. We're not talking about how Asian women are sexualized. We're talking about the relationship of Asians that Asians have, the Asian population here in America that they have to the rest of the country. And perhaps there's an increase in Asian hate crimes and how easy it is to cite mental illness as a defense. These are all things that are going on in the news. In particular, for Asian hate crimes, I highly recommend going to the stopaapihate.org website for more information about that. And should you be swayed, donate to the cause. But let's move on to important news. This is stuff that I really feel that you ought to know. All right, the first bit of news you ought to know is the special enrollment period boosts Affordable Care Act enrollment by 200,000 enrollees. This is an article from a journal called Health Payer Intelligence. And this is regarding the Biden administration opening a special enrollment period. So they extended the health insurance enrollment period from February 15th to May 15th. But then, just recently, they extended the extension. So now it's February 15th to August 15th. People, if you're listening to this and you don't have healthcare insurance, highly recommend you do so. Research shows that simply having healthcare insurance improves your health because it improves your access to healthcare. There's a lot of barriers out there. Even if you do have healthcare insurance, cost is that is a great factor. But simply having healthcare insurance improves your access. And there's a lot of research out there that proves this, looking at how states expanding Medicaid improves health outcomes in their states for their people. So if you're someone that this would benefit, or if you know someone that this extension would benefit, highly recommend letting them know about this. There's even subsidies. And so that was part of the Affordable Care Act, is that there are subsidies out there at healthcare.gov for people of different income brackets. And particularly for the lower income brackets, there's subsidies. However, with the coronavirus stimulus package that passed, that includes extended subsidies for higher income brackets than usual. So lots of options out there if you're someone who would like to have healthcare insurance. Just as a quick tip, a friend of mine works for healthcare insurance for the state of Michigan in their healthcare insurance management space. And he brought up a great tip that you just find your one thing healthcare related that's important to you that you know you're going to need for the year. Maybe it's something specific, like you're going to need eye care, for example, or maybe it's just like there's a particular doctor that you want to see. So just focus on your one thing. And just go from there, because comparing healthcare plans can be crazy. Highly recommend you look into this enrollment period if you're someone who'd be interested in that. If you're in Michigan, there's a great not-for-profit health organization that for free will help you review plans. That organization is in Ferndale, Michigan. They're known as Fern Care, and they're doing virtual. I just checked. They're doing virtual appointments. And that is completely free. Ferncare.com or .org, they list organizations all throughout Michigan that they find helpful. And in some cases, they list other states as well. So please consider getting healthcare insurance. Let's move on to the next article. This is from healthitsecurity.com. The Office of Civil Rights extends comment period on changes to HIPAA privacy rule. So this is regarding a last minute change from the Trump administration right before they left. That's called the right of access. And what this does is it includes a patient's right to access their own health records. This is a huge thing. This is a common thing now. If you're familiar with the EMR systems of Epic and Cerner, there's a number of other organizations out there, such as Optum. They include this whole thing of a patient getting access to their own health records. If you're not familiar, getting access to your own health records or sending health records to a new doctor, if you like change plans or something like that, can be a pain in the a. So this proposal here would strengthen a patient's right to do that. There's a number of different changes to HIPAA privacy, including adding formal definitions of what an electronic health record is and what a personal health application is to HIPAA. which is just crazy to me that these aren't part of HIPAA yet. But that's what this rule would do, this rule change would do. And so if you're interested in this, the Office of Civil Rights is doing a review of this rule change before signing it into law. And I'll include a link to where you can click the link and then submit a comment if you feel so inclined. But this would be huge. And I think that's a great thing that we're improving our access to our own health records. It's our health records, dang it. Why's it got to be a pain in the A, or even a pain in the B, or even a pain in the LMNOP? All right, let's move on to, we're going to move on to some more interesting reads. But first, let's take a listen to Dolly Parton, who sings a song about how she got a COVID vaccine shot.
Well, hey, it's me. I'm finally going to get my vaccine. I'm so excited. I've been waiting a while. I'm old enough to get it, and I'm smart enough to get it. So I'm very happy that I'm going to get my Moderna shot today. And I wanted to tell everybody, I think you should get out there and do it too. I even changed one of my songs to fit the occasion. It goes, vaccine, 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 vaccine. I'm begging of you, please don't hesitate. Vaccine, 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 vaccine. Because once you're dead, then that's a bit too late. I know I'm trying to be funny now, but I'm dead serious about the vaccine. I think we all want to get back to normal, whatever that is. And that would be a great shot in the arm, wouldn't it, if we could get back to that. But anyhow, I just wanted to encourage everybody, because the sooner we get to feeling better, the sooner we are going to get back to being normal. So I just want to say to all of you cowards out there, don't be such a chicken squat. Get out there and get shot.
All right, so you heard the lady. Don't be such a chicken squat. Yeah. A chicken squat. I wonder if is that a chicken poop? I think that's what that means. Don't be such a chicken squat means don't be such a chicken poop. Chicken squat. So that was Dolly Parton, who is getting her Moderna vaccine, which, by the way, was partially funded by her. So that's kind of cool. And she was getting her vaccine at Vanderbilt University. Before we move on to some fascinating reads, I wanted to let you know that you can send me news articles that you find. I highly encourage this. I have a couple of friends who actually sent me some of these articles that I'm talking about today. And I really enjoy that. You know, I enjoy having my opinion changed or opinion challenged. I'm just like, I just can't get enough information. I'm one of those people who I don't even care all that much if I'm reading an old article. And a lot of times information stays evergreen, you know, certain facts. And so, hey, follow me on social media. If, you know, I'm Rishi B on Twitter. I'm also Rishi B on Instagram. There's also the Healthy Schmelty Facebook page. And, you know, you can always email me, therishib@gmail.com. If you have something interesting that you found healthcare related or just anything related, let me know. I'm always interested in, you know, something that piques my brain, such as the following fascinating reads.
Fascinating.
This first fascinating read is from the New Yorker, and it's called Why Does the Pandemic Seem to Be Hitting Some Countries Harder Than Others? Shout out to a previous guest and also good friend of the show, the Chris Parks, who sent me this article. Why did COVID hit rich countries harder than these poorer countries that, you know, there's all this talk of social distancing? And, you know, these poorer countries, they have larger slum areas or, you know, larger larger densely packed areas where poorer people are congregated. So maybe social distancing probably isn't as easily able to be done. You know, certain resources that help in that, perhaps even something as simple as a face mask. Maybe those resources to have all that isn't great. You know, Clorox and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, this is based off of poor countries in the past with some other ailments they get harder hit by them, such as HIV, malaria, typhoid. However, throughout this year, you know, we're at the near the 1 year mark of being in the COVID pandemic, and the hardest hit countries, hardest by far is America, but also up there is the UK, Italy, Spain. These are the countries, you know, Western superpowers, you know, if you want to put those in quotes. And those are the countries that are getting hit. We're the ones getting hit really hard with this disease. And so what this article gets at is what could be behind that. This is a really fascinating read, talking about fascinating reads. It gets into kind of, if you're interested in this kind of thing, about how hard epidemiology is and why a lot of times, you know, to truly understand the factors behind pandemics, they aren't really figured out until, like, you know, 10 to 20 years later, just because there's so many different factors that could be involved. So, you know, the field of epidemiology is gnarly. But this, the writer of this article is Indian. So he talks about India, that, India had actually built these really large treatment, tents because they were expecting, hundreds of thousands of cases and, you know, severe cases that were like near death and all this kind of stuff. However, at the offset, they were used in spring and summer of 2020. They were used, but then by fall, they were largely unused. And by December, deaths were almost like infrequent. So what is it about the quote unquote superpowers? Once again, US, UK, Italy, Spain, a lot of whom now are facing, you know, third waves, fourth waves. And there's a couple of different factors, and I'll let you read the article. I highly recommend reading this. It is a bit of a long read. However, I think you would find it really interesting. And kind of what they get at is in these quote-unquote poorer countries, developing countries, there's a greater resolve of people just, you know, kind of for the greater good kind of mentality falling in line. And so something like social distancing, wearing face masks, helping the government and the public health arms of the government with survey data and, you know, contact tracing. The hurdle to do that is less in those countries than it is in, especially in the US, but maybe in a lot of these like Western superpowers. So they talk about factors such as that, but also are those governments more authoritative, the ones that had better case rates, etc., with COVID? Do those countries treat their elderly different? Are there more joint families in those countries? What's the age of the populations, the average median age? A number of different factors, and what it all kind of boils down to is just those countries, the ones that did better, like the Southeast Asian countries, Singapore, Korea, etc., they just have a better willingness to throw the whole kitchen sink at a problem, and everyone just kind of falls in line. Highly recommend reading this article. Once again, that'll be at rishibi.com. Let's move on to the next fascinating read.
Fascinating.
The next fascinating read is called COVID Vaccines, Does It Matter Which One You Get? This is a blog from the University of Michigan. If you're not familiar, this is a research hospital here, actually in my hometown of Ann Arbor, Michigan. And it's actually kind of renowned for medical research. So you'll often see University of Michigan referenced in lots of different national journals. And at the time that this blog post was written, the big conversation along the lines of that headline is how the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was found to be 66% effective versus the 94% from Pfizer and Moderna. And so they were talking about, does that matter? And of course it does. You know, percent effectiveness is something that should be noted, not to trivialize that comparison. However, what this blog does is they talk to a number of different researchers at University of Michigan to get their opinion on this, and they sort of consolidate that. And what it all kind of boils down to is there is some discrepancy, so it's really hard to compare the vaccines because the vaccines, you know, there was all this hay made about the phase three trials and when those trials were done. And so the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, they got approved in December of 2020, whereas the Johnson & Johnson got approved just now in early March 2021. So the landscape of the pandemic, it is completely different at those times. Primarily, when the Johnson & Johnson got approved, the phase three trials included the COVID variants in the population. So, you know, it's really hard to compare because, you know, there's just a lot more going on in the pandemic now versus December 2020. And, you know, it's also important to note that the trials still continue. So there's actually some evidence there that that 28 days after you get a shot, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is actually 85% effective. However, that 66%, that was what they submitted their emergency use authorization request at. So in another important factor is all of these vaccines are 100% effective against hospitalizations and death. That even includes with the variants, the Brazil and South African variants. So these vaccines are worth getting. And the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, you know, these a lot of the researchers, the consensus was is actually if you sort of statistically sort of even everything out between the three, they're probably all almost equally effective. But it's worth just getting whichever vaccine you get, because even if you take the Johnson & Johnson 66% effective number, the flu vaccine on average is 40 to 60% effective. So, you know, what we're talking about here is just getting vaccinated, especially when we're in a pandemic. But, you know, whatever is coming out about these vaccines are going to be highly analyzed, which takes us to the next fascinating read, which is really just a fascinating, almost debacle, if you want to say. This is from the CNBC, and it's titled AstraZeneca Revises COVID Vaccine Data with a Lower Efficacy Rate After Accuracy Questions.
Fascinating.
Man, what hasn't happened to the AstraZeneca vaccine rollout? I thought the best headline that sort of encapsulated this was from the Wall Street Journal. AstraZeneca got its vaccine right. The rollout has been a mess. And it just really has. The AstraZeneca has been in prod, if you want to say, elsewhere in the world outside of the U.S. to this point. And it was actually kind of famously, you might have heard about this, it got put on pause in Europe because there were some instances found or thought to be found where people were getting blood clots and some other type of what they call thrombolic issues. I don't know what that refers to. But so there were some of these instances, which actually, if you look at it, it was about 20 instances where one of these issues was thought to have been related to the vaccine out of something like 900,000 jabs of the vaccine. So a very, very small percent. However, it was suspected. And then it turned out that almost immediately upon review of those instances, they were found to not be associated with the vaccine. However, the news had already gotten out there and some of those European countries decided to put on pause. And so there was that. And but, you know, if you kind of look at it and a lot of healthcare experts here in America got out there to say that they trusted the AstraZeneca vaccine Dr. Fauci went out a lot and to the press junket to put that message out there that he trusts the AstraZeneca vaccine, to sort of explain what was going on there. But then, so that was the one thing. But then it turns out, based off of an independent vaccine review board, that AstraZeneca had put out that they were going to submit for a EUA, emergency authorization, in the U.S. within the first couple of weeks of April, based off of their efficacy trials showing that they were 79% effective against a symptomatic disease and 100% effective against severe disease. But it turns out that that they published that based off of not the most current data that they had available. So Fauci once again got out there to sort of say that this was sort of a clerical error. And if you read into that, it does look like it's a very type of like organizational misstep. However, when you're a vaccine maker in the middle of a pandemic, you have to realize that like everything you do is just going to be like, you know, combed with a fine tooth comb. You know what I mean? I don't know if I said that phrase correctly, but everything that you do is going to get hyper analyzed. Like, how could you allow something as basic as not submitting your most current data? It seems like such a basic thing. So considering that, do we go back to our previous article and amend that? Does it matter which vaccine you get? You know, with Johnson & Johnson, with the 66% thing, we were talking about how, you know, it's still worth it to get vaccinated. With AstraZeneca, it is still worth it to get vaccinated. It's 100% understandable to have some second thoughts about the AstraZeneca vaccine, considering all these missteps. However, it's been used so much to this point in Africa, in Europe. It's still being used in Europe, even those countries that paused, and even some of the countries that were behind this review of the vaccine here in America that caused this whole data up-to-date thing being an issue. Those countries are using this vaccine. And, you know, the AstraZeneca vaccine doesn't require as much overhead. You know, this whole thing about like storing these vaccines in like cold and all this kind of stuff. The AstraZeneca vaccine, which is also the one that is in partnership with the University of Oxford, this one requires less of that logistical overhead in order to store the vaccine. So it just presents such a great advantage and a great benefit to our fight against COVID, which is like almost singularly relying on vaccines, because a lot of the country is sort of not really following social distancing. So, you know, we need as many of these silver bullets as we could possibly get. And if you look at how much this AstraZeneca vaccine has already been used outside of America, I mean, the usage stats just speak for themselves. So whichever vaccine you can get, just get it. If you do have the choice, a lot of times you're not going to have a choice. You know, whichever vaccine you can get, just get vaccinated. That's the important thing here, because really that's the only thing that America is able to do to fight COVID. All right, let's take a break. More Healthy Schmelty in just a moment. We're going to look at some polls from the social media. We're going to talk about what's more important, Meghan Markle or COVID. We're also going to do a pop culture brain dump. Stay with us. Here we go. All right, and we're back. You know, I said stay with us in that previous statement. It is really, it's stay with me. However, if there is anyone who feels that they're spiritually with me by taking part in this podcast listening, then it's stay with us. You know, let's just go with that. You know, from now on, I'm going to say stay with us. I've decided. Hey, thank you very much for listening to this episode, and please subscribe to the podcast. You know, I have a lot of great interviews coming up, a lot of great content coming up, including where pandemics come from, where the next pandemic is probably going to come from. Have some great conversations about, I had a thought that, you know, it might even be a public health issue in being involved in partisan politics. So have some great conversations coming up about, staying bipartisan, keeping your cool, keeping your political convictions, but also keeping your cool when you're involved in conversations involving politics. All of that is coming up, and there's a lot more interesting episodes and a lot more fascinating reads to go. You know, we're still in this pandemic. So I highly appreciate you subscribing to this podcast, reviewing the podcast on iTunes, and leaving a comment. And sending me news, therishibi@gmail.com, or finding Rishibi on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. And, you can find all my previous episodes at rishibi.com, including a conversation, the aforementioned conversation with Dr. Reverend Bailey on COVID hesitancy. Also, an explanation of COVID data terms with COVID Act Now. Lots of great episodes. Find them all at rishibi.com or subscribe to the podcatcher of your choice. All right, let's go into feedback and polls on a segment that I call Hear the Chatter. Get ready. All right, first piece of feedback comes from @Dorkestry on Twitter. @Dorkestry is a great follow of mine. He's always interacting with my tweets. He responded to a tweet that I twatted that was about how 26% of Michigan was vaccinated. And he let me know, he lives in New York. And so we're sort of, he lives in upper New York. So he sort of let me know, being like sort of Midwest Eastern buddies, patriots. He let me know about how Ontario, which borders both of our states, is entering a third wave. So I think that just goes to show that you can't sleep on the social distancing. He also, I saw that he had tweeted more recently that someone he knows who got vaccinated actually spread COVID to their household. So, you can't sleep on the social distancing. You know, it's really important, especially when we're not at herd immunity yet. Next piece of feedback stemmed from an op-ed that I shared from a Dr. Lena Wen. Dr. Lena Wen is a great follow, by the way, on the social media of your choice. She's a former official involved with Maryland's healthcare system. She now works as a surgeon, I believe, in Washington. But you can find her like everywhere, especially CNN in particular, but also all over Washington Post. She shared an op-ed called "The CDC is Missing a Critical Opportunity to Get Americans Vaccinated." This was in relation to the CDC publishing guidelines about what vaccinated people could do, which was a lot of things, but they kind of hedged their bets to say that vaccinated people can't do everything, which was essentially the crux of her argument that the CDC should, as an incentive to get vaccinated, should have suggested that vaccinated people can enjoy essentially any freedom that they want to, acknowledging that there is some risk involved to unvaccinated people. In response to this, on Twitter, @GMFunkyTown, who's Bobby Frankenberger, a previous guest on the podcast, he said, "It is interesting the dichotomy of opinion between armchair experts who want to shame everyone into their homes forever and actually public health experts who are trying to explain why that is a terrible approach." And also @UGEPlex on Twitter, who went on a huge tirade in response to my tweet, in response to this, the idea of this op-ed, which I don't believe he read. he or she read, guessing a he. But he said, the epidemiologist pointed out people should be able to go outside, yes. They don't literally have to stay indoors the whole time. Socialize closely, even vaccinated, they said that's a big no until a 70 to 80% vaccination rate with proven immunity is confirmed. So these two at UGE Plex and at GM Funky Town, they got into a whole thing about using vaccines as essentially a carrot, and the idea with that. And in general, I agree that, we have to be really careful about like forcing people to do things, because as we saw with social distancing, it's not really going to work if you like force someone to do something. However, with sweetening, voluntarily getting vaccinated, no one has to get vaccinated. So sweetening what you could do when you are vaccinated, I don't see a problem with that. Feel free to disagree with me. I don't think it's really playing around with people's health cares or anything like that to say that as long as you acknowledge that there is some risk to unvaccinated people, you can essentially enjoy whatever freedom that you want to. Especially when we're living in a world where we're living in a country where getting vaccinated is the only thing that we're prepared to do, essentially, to fight the disease. Let's move on to some polls. Some poll results. So every week on Twitter and Instagram, I put out a poll. You used to be able to do a poll from a Facebook page, but you no longer can do that. I don't know what that's about. But anyways, let's get on to the first poll. This was, are you in favor of private entities like restaurants, travel, etc., requiring vaccine passports for entry? And yes won that by 76%. So, this whole concept of vaccine passports is something that's in the mix. Particular private entities, it seems like it's something that's being considered. You may have heard Krispy Kreme is giving a free donut a day if you can show your vaccine card to them. So stuff like that is coming up in the mix more and more. The only thing that's happened from a national level is the Biden administration has said that they don't want to be involved in all with managing the passports or creating them. So there is some private companies in the mix of making a vaccine passport, but we'll see where that goes. Next poll, if your state were to open everything back up with optional masks, would you still wear one? This is in relation to news from a while ago you may have heard of. Famously, Texas and Mississippi, they just opened everything right back up and made face masks optional, which, by the way, left it up to like private entities to do what they want to. So kind of a weird dichotomy there, because private entities would use police, to enforce something like that, if they had to. Kind of a weird dichotomy there. Yes won this. If your state were to open everything back up with optional masks, would you still wear one? Yes won this by 93%. We'll see where that sentiment goes. I think things are probably bound to get a little gnarly over the summer season, especially while we're still, some miles away from having herd immunity, which actually we still don't even really know what the specific percent would be for herd immunity. We're kind of waiting to see when we get there. Lastly, this one turned out to be a barn burner. I didn't quite realize the nail biter I was putting out here. What would you rather read about on your lunch break, Meghan Markle or COVID-19? And just by a slim margin, Meghan Markle won this by 52%. More people wanted to read about Meghan Markle on their lunch break than COVID-19, but a very, very close race. There was one response to my poll that I enjoyed, essentially a C, none of the above response. That was from @PhilRude on Twitter. They said, don't make me choose. I hate them both. Well, you can hate them But despite your emotions to them, they're still going to be there at Phil Rood. Meghan Markle and COVID-19, they're basically the same thing. What do you think about that, Phil? All right, so let's move on to the last segment. This is what I'm calling the 2-minute pop culture brain dump. You know, it's very healthy to get everything off of your chest, as many things as possible. You know, speak your true feelings. And that's what I'm going to do here now. I'm going to set myself 2 minutes to talk about as many things as I can. I have a list of topics here written by my lovely wife, Benafsa. And so here we go. The 2-minute pop culture brain dump will begin after this sound.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, Lena Wen. Oh, shoot. I just talked about Lena Wen. She's incredible. Follow her on all the social medias. Lena Wen is the winner, in my book, of life, because she has a cute baby and all her thoughts are excellent. Okay, the next topic, Biden's presidency thus far. Biden's presidency thus far. I appreciate the ideas there. And I appreciate the COVID stimulus bill. COVID stimulus bill perhaps could have been a little bit trimmed compared to what it was. It'll be interesting to see. He's also trying to put out an infrastructure bill. So the total of those two bills would be like something around $6 trillion when we're already like massively in debt. So these are things, you know, infrastructure is super important, of course. But, you know, it seems like we're kind of like just making up money. But, you know, so far you got to hand it to the guy. He's done a lot better in COVID in like less than 100 days than, you know, president shoving UV light up your bum. Next up, WandaVision. All right, WandaVision. WandaVision is a great show. WandaVision is so good. It's probably the best show that I torrented. Should I be admitting this? All right, next. Andrew Cuomo. Oh, man. You know, guy, I saw that picture. It wasn't good. It wasn't good, Andrew. That's a bad Drew. All right, so that was it. So how many was I able to get through? I was only able to get through 4 pop culture brain dumps in 2 minutes. Not a great track record. but hey, that was the pop culture brain dump. Hey, once again, if you have any fascinating reads or important news that everyone oughta know, please feel free to send me that at thereshabi@gmail.com. Find more episodes of the podcast at reshabi.com. Appreciate your subscriptions. That's going to do it for this episode. Make sure you stay healthy and you stay away from all that schmelty.
Ha ha. See you later.